Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
If you are a regular listener to the Beacon broadcast, you know that we are in Colossians chapter 1, and specifically that we are examining verse 20, which is the last verse in Paul's hymn of praise to Christ. And we are dealing with the last concept in that verse, which is the means, or rather the results, of reconciliation. This verse tells us the need for reconciliation, the scope of reconciliation, the way of reconciliation, and the result, or results, of reconciliation. And the results are wrapped up in that phrase, having made peace. Now I go back and read the verse and quickly bring us up to our present place so that we can move forward on the broadcast today. But Colossians 1:20 says, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." So, we have seen that this text speaks, first of all, of the need for reconciliation. If God in Christ is reconciling this world unto himself, it's because there is a need. And so we need to understand that need. And of course, the need is because of sin. The text secondly speaks of the scope of reconciliation and reminds us that all things, whether things on heaven or on earth or things in heaven, are in need of reconciliation. By him to reconcile all things to himself, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And that occasioned a bit of exploration. That word seems too large, and yet if we just said all things, we might want to limit it, because most of the alls in the Bible are not universal alls. They are alls of a certain category. They are alls of something that is smaller than that word might be pressed to indicate, and yet when it's followed up by the words whether things on earth or things in heaven, that pretty much includes everything, doesn't it? The scope of reconciliation is as wide as creation. And there is a sense in which everything God created is out of right relationship to him because of Adam's sin in the garden. That gives us some idea of the magnitude of Adam's sin. What an enormous transgression. What an enormous offense against Almighty God. The text thirdly speaks of the way of reconciliation, which is in Jesus Christ, and it says, made peace through the blood of his cross. And it is his cross work that brings about this reconciliation. And then finally, we see the results of reconciliation, which is having made peace. And that's where we're going on the Beacon broadcast this Thursday, January 21. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping us financially, those of you who are led of God to help support the Beacon broadcast. Well, here we are. The results of reconciliation. What happens when God, in Christ Jesus, by the shedding of his blood on the cross, reconciles this fallen world to himself, reconciles it back to God? What is the result? And the result is having made peace. Peace as opposed to alienation. Or peace as opposed to enmity. And I talked on the broadcast yesterday about the fact that this peace is not subjective. It's not the way we feel. It is the way things are, as revealed to us in the Bible. And it's as simple as this. If you are not in Christ, you are an enemy of God. The Bible makes that clear. You are, to change the vocabulary slightly, alienated from God. Whether you feel like it or not. I spent quite a bit of time on the broadcast yesterday talking about many people that I've met along the way who have no interest in Christ and are not trusting in Christ, and yet they don't feel alienated from God. They don't have a sense that things are not right with them and God. They don't sense a need for peace with God. They think they are at peace with God, but they're not. Their feelings are erroneous. Their feelings have betrayed them. They are not feeling what they ought to feel. For whatever reason, it's because they do not understand the truth of their condition, or they have not accepted the truth of it. They are not willing to accept what the Bible teaches on this point. But the fact of the matter is, every person in the world is divided into two categories. Those who are in Christ, those who are not in Christ. It's as simple as that. And there are other ways that we can describe it, but for the purposes of this text, that's probably as good a way as any. Those who are in Christ are enjoying the benefits of His death upon the cross applied to them, and that means that they are now at peace with God because He made peace through the blood of His cross. I'm not at peace with God because of anything that I have done. Not anything. I think we sometimes mislead people by using that phrase, make peace with God. Sometimes we use that in connection with people when they become ill and they are told they have a terminal illness from which they will not recover, or they've had an accident and they're dying, and we sometimes say, it's time for you to make peace with God. I don't think we use that terminology today nearly as much as our forefathers used it in days gone by. It actually ought to be used more than it is, but even at that, it can be misleading. It's a good thing to remind people that they need to be rightly related to God before they leave this world. They need to, as it were, make peace with God, and yet when it really comes down to it, the truth is that we don't make peace with God. Only one can do that. That's Jesus Christ. Christ has made peace with God. And what we must do is, through faith, be joined to Christ. What we need to be sure of is that we are in Christ, that we are trusting Christ and Him alone for salvation, that we understand what Christ did in His death upon the cross, and how we enter into the benefits of what He did upon the cross. And in that way, we enter into the peace which He has already made. I don't make peace with God. I enter into the peace which Jesus Christ made with God. And this is, as I have explained, an objective matter. It's not necessarily the way I feel. I am burdened for those of God's children who are not at peace. In other words, they don't have assurance of a right relationship to God through Jesus Christ. They're not certain that they're one of God's children. They're troubled by that. They don't have peace in that sense, and that's a subjective thing. They don't feel peace. They don't have assurance. They aren't absolutely certain that they are in Christ and that He has made peace with God on their behalf. Now, that's another subject. Related subject. It's not far afield. It's a related subject, but it is another subject, and really for another day. But I will simply say that by observation, having pastored for more than 40 years, my opinion is that most of the people who are troubled about salvation are saved, and most of the people, well, many of the people, not most of, many of the people who are untroubled about salvation are actually lost. Strange thing, isn't it? But the very fact that a person is concerned about their relationship with God, troubled about their relationship with God, disturbed by their lack of sinless perfection, disturbed by their lack of progress in sanctification. These are the things which disturb our peace and cause us concern. And don't you realize that only somebody in whom the Spirit of God has worked and is working is going to feel these concerns? The very presence of such concerns indicates a work of the Spirit of God. Now, it does not tell us whether that work has already resulted in the new birth or is moving toward that, is in that direction. This may be preliminary conviction, as we call it, conviction of sin, that causes a person to be disturbed and to seek a remedy and to pay attention to the gospel and to cast themselves upon the mercy of God through Jesus Christ and to come to faith in Him and to peace with God that way. This may be preliminary conviction, a disturbing of the Holy Spirit, which we welcome. We certainly welcome it for our loved ones. Our greatest concern for our unsaved loved ones is that they're not concerned. We're concerned for them. They're not concerned for themselves until the Holy Spirit troubles them. But even after a person is saved, they can be troubled. And when they are saved, when they have come to faith in Christ, people are generally troubled because they fail. They sin, they fail, and they don't understand it. They have this misconception that if I were a true Christian, or if I were a sincere Christian, if I were really, really serious about this matter, I wouldn't sin. Show me that in the Bible. That's a misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches. The Bible actually teaches the opposite. It teaches this lifelong conflict of the believer with remaining sin, which will only be totally removed when we get to heaven. We are being sanctified, but we have not yet been fully sanctified. We will be fully and completely and perfectly sanctified when we are with the Lord in heaven. And until then, we continue to struggle with remaining sin. And as long as we are in the flesh, we will sin, we will fail. That should disturb us. It does, it should. If it doesn't, that's a bad sign. If it does, that's a good sign. But if it does, that doesn't mean that we're not a child of God. That means, in most cases, that we are a child of God, and we're struggling with sin that disturbs us because we are His children. Otherwise, it wouldn't disturb us. Unconverted people go on in their sin, undisturbed, unmoved, unconcerned. They're not troubled by it because the Holy Spirit has not convicted them, has not troubled them. And that's a bad condition to be in. That's a fatal condition to be in. If the Holy Spirit never troubles you, then you are going to go into eternity lost. So the fact that someone is troubled, the fact that someone doesn't feel peace with God doesn't mean that they don't have peace with God. The peace with God that this text talks about is objective. He made peace by the blood of His cross. And by Him, to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. When He died on the cross, He made peace with God on behalf of all those who trust in Him. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.